Ladies and gentlemen, the Hold Up Podcast.
Hold up!
Thank you. Wow, Justin. That's nice.
That's good. That was a good one.
You feel good about that?
I do. I had a little bit of an echo right there at the end, but not before. It was kind of weird, but it was good.
Yeah, last three episodes have sort of been in like different places. You have officially moved. So if anyone is following along in like the lore of the podcast, you have moved. So congratulations to you and to Elise.
Thank you, John. That is very nice of you.
Wow. And, I had to save it for the podcast. I wasn't going to say that shit to you without it being recorded.
Yeah.
That wouldn't matter.
I agree. It wouldn't matter. And I appreciate that you waited.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, because if you texted it, I would have just deleted the text and demanded this. So it's good.
I like that you're being a little bit mean to me. I'm John Stenning.
I own a house now, so I'm doing whatever the fuck I want. No, Justin Adam K.
Wow, okay. And we are here with Rob Green. Rob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. How are we?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Not too bad.
We're here to we're here to break down some things that you liked when you were a kid. Well, I mean, liked is maybe getting ahead of ourselves. Maybe you hated these things that you picked for us today. Who knows? But before we get into your picks, I would love to know, growing up, Rob, we're going to talk about a specific movie a little bit later. Did you watch a lot of movies growing up? Did you watch a lot of TV? Did you spend your time outside? How did you spend your free time as a kid?
I feel like I watched a lot more TV than movies. There are so many franchises that I either have not seen at all or didn't see until I was well into adulthood.
Yeah, like movie franchises?
Like I saw Star Wars in like 2017.
Oh, nice.
For the first time ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, the original is pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But like, so I was like the oldest cousin on both sides of my family too. So I didn't have like an older person to like give me cool stuff.
Yeah.
So it was either like coming from my parents or adults or like things that I found on my own. So. Things like that. I don't think I've ever seen an Indiana Jones movie or like Rocky or most of those like franchises and trilogies and things
that you just haven't seen. And now is it sort of the thing where you're just like, it's sort of, I don't really care to see them at this point, or because a lot of people will react in a very sort of strong way when you tell them you haven't seen like an Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, it's fun.
You kind of enjoy the fact that you get that reaction out of people at this point, like that it's like it's more fun to like fuck with people in that way than seeing it.
I mean, like a little bit. That can come off pretty douchey sometimes too. So I'm trying not to do that. But I mean, it's sometimes and it also like after doing that for a while, like then that kind of gets old as well. Like
it gets old hearing it. As someone who I have seen a lot of movies, but I mean, that's just people see things and they don't see things, you know, like it really doesn't need to be that much more complicated than that.
For anyone who's frequent listener knows, I've seen nothing. Almost every movie that gets picked on this podcast, I have not seen.
Right.
Nice.
TV.
Yeah, he too watched a lot of TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were you watching in terms of TV, Rob?
Oh, I mean, TGIF. Hell yeah. Nice. Some nice like after school Comedy Central.
Like those B movies and C movies, like Hudson Hawk.
Like those would come on. That's like for me probably like middle schoolish, but then around high school too. Or maybe I don't know if the time works for that, but I remember seeing Wet Hot American Summer on Comedy Central and only on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So when I finally saw it on a streaming service or something. There's like whole scenes that aren't even on, like recurring themes that aren't even in the Comedy Central version. So that's a movie, I guess, but we're talking about TV.
Have you ever noticed, kind of bridging the gap of TV and movie, have you guys ever experienced, I mean, this is going to be maybe not relevant anymore because we're all probably streamers, but like movies that have scenes on the TV version only? So not that they got cut, but the TV version has like a scene that's not even a deleted scene you can watch on the DVD. Have you guys ever experienced that?
With trailers more than specifically with that, yeah. But things that are just in the trailer are weird.
I don't recall anything specific. I think of like ways that they have changed maybe the dialogue on a TV version versus a movie of, like, you know, a theatrical release. I've always loved the one from Big Lebowski, where instead of saying, this is what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, which is just like, it's not an A to B, you know, it's like an A to an E, A to D. So it's just like really.
It's almost like they enjoyed like making up random.
Yes.
F and the A.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's a couple others from that movie, but that's like the known one.
Yes.
So I only ask because Ace Ventura Pet Detective 1 is a movie that like has extra scenes on the TV version that are not on my DVD. And they're like,
are they more problematic?
No, they're irrelevant, kind of. But they're like scenes where there's more cannibal corpse. There's there's more chasing with the bad guys. There's a scene where he goes to a bar to figure out where Finkel's house originally is in Florida in the Everglades, because he kind of just shows up there, you know, when he meets the parents without. Like, it's assumed he knew how to get there, I guess. But in the TV version, he, like, had to figure that out. And, like, he went to a bar and got his ass kicked. And it was like, that could be problematic. But anyway.
Your ass kicked, yeah.
Well, bullying. The things going on in the bar with the Florida Everglades crew that are there. But who knows? Anyway, we were talking about Wet Hot American Summer, Comedy Central movies. I was just curious if you ever noticed that in TV. Either of you have ever noticed that with the TV.
No, nothing, like, stands out in my memory. That seems like. Like, how do they plan for that? You know?
I don't know. It kills me that it's not on the DVD. And to be fair, I haven't, like, looked up why or anything. Yeah,
do you have the DVD of Ace Ventura?
Yeah, I do. It's at home. Oh. Yeah, I do. Because it was like, do you remember when you could buy, like, DVDs at Walmart for,
I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go for it.
If I understand, you just moved.
Yeah.
And a DVD of Ace Ventura Pet Detective made the cut and made the movie?
So, no, it didn't. But that movie never made the cut in the first place, because when I just dropped home right there, I was kind of referring to my parents' house.
At your folks' house, yeah.
That is a much better answer.
Yeah, there's like two huge underbed trays of movies at their house that I never bothered to move with, thank God.
Yeah. That'll be there forever.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Have their way. It's going to be here in like a week, but
they're going to bring them up.
Yeah. Like next thing I know, they'll be bringing them here. But anyway, well, that's cool. So like what other TV things did you watch?
Yeah, you mentioned Kids in the Hall. Like, was there like other sketch stuff like that on Comedy Central or,
was there other sketch stuff? I watched the State on MTV before that and stuff like that. But, there wasn't a ton of sketch stuff on, but I just like thought like Kids in the Hall were like, they're weird. And like, I didn't exactly get everything. But that was always fun. And it was just like, it was definitely on like the minute I got off the bus. I remember watching I watched MTV a lot in like, this is like the '90s. So there was like Greg Fitzsimmons used to host a game show. I think it was called Idiot Savants. And it was like, you know, Greg Fitzsimmons in his 20s, but just with like the horseshoe at the time.
Yeah.
like, you know, Singled Out and like those random shows and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when MTV was transitioning away from music videos, like fully. You know,
yes.
But before like Next, did you ever watch MTV around that time with those awful
shows?
Yeah,
that was right around like the tail end. Yeah,
right.
Isn't it funny to think that like Next and Pimp My Ride,
there it is,
and Room Raiders, like even by today's standards, those shows are A, classics, and B, like, you know, quality television compared to what's out there today.
I don't know, dude. Next is so bad.
I mean, just they're bad. That.
People used to step off the bus and some fucking like asshole would just be like, next. Like, fuck that. That's such garbage.
Holy actually, shit. There was like a super funny Workaholics episode where
Oh God.
They were on Next. Like that was the premise of the show. Like back in the 90s, they were, or whatever it was, the 2000s, they were on that show. That was a freak. I laughed at that. Anyway.
So like, we're going to talk about a movie that's about a show from a show.
Yeah.
Kind of. Right. So, Rob, why don't you tell, I mean, everyone knows, they saw it in the fucking description of the episode. But what did you pick for this week?
I picked the movie that I think I have seen the most out of any movie.
Oh.
Wayne's World.
Hell yes.
The first one.
Wayne's World 1.
Yeah.
Yes.
Party time.
So funny. That one, not the, you know, Starz premium subscription, Wayne's World 2, available for free on Hulu.
Just about everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a free trial as well.
Yeah, so Wayne's World 1 is what you picked. So it is a show based on a sketch from Saturday Night Live. And you said you've seen it more than any other movie. It came out in 1992. Do you remember the first time that you saw it?
I got the video either for Christmas or for my birthday from my mom. And... I don't remember like the first time watching it, but like, yeah, I remember like what house I lived in and like, that it was just a movie that I watched over and over and over again. I was, if it came out in 92, I was 11 in 92. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, 11, 12 or so by the time I got it. And I didn't get a lot of the jokes.
Sure. Yeah.
Still laughed at them, still repeated them, which is fun.
Yeah.
I didn't know the cream of some young guy.
Oh my God, dude. That I wrote that joke is so good.
But it was just like, it was one of like the first things that was like, oh man, this really speaks to me. Is like too much for like Wayne's World, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, but hey, that's I mean, that's what we're here for. That's why you picked it, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was, and it's just like, it's like nonstop gags, and like, as an 11, 12 year old, that'll hit you right in the vein.
Absolutely. Were you a fan of like the sketch on Saturday Night Live beforehand?
Didn't know it existed.
Gotcha. Same when I first was aware of the movie, same, I just knew the movie,
yeah. After the fact, I've gone back and like seen them and stuff, but. Yeah, I just knew it as its own thing, and it stands by itself too. Like you don't need to know the sketches. There's no backstory in Wayne's World that they're not going to just speak into the camera.
Yeah, they do set it up quite nicely in this movie. So, you know, there are some people out there that don't necessarily know what this movie is about, Rob. So there's something that we'd like to do on the show called the elevator pitch. You are, you know, you're a budding writer. You're a young Mike Myers trying to pitch this to Lorne Michaels. And unfortunately, Justin and I are filling in for that role of Lorne Michaels. So if you could just give us an elevator pitch about what this movie is about, you know, just a brief description for anyone who hasn't seen it.
This movie is, it's a win for the little guy. It's an inspirational story. And along the way, it is just packed to the gills with jokes, and it doesn't go 5 minutes. I mean, it doesn't go 1 minute without a laugh.
It
does. And I mean, it just, and it makes sense, and it has heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it truly is like it's such a gag machine, and I don't necessarily think of it as that type of movie. I don't think of it as like an airplane type of movie necessarily, you know, but upon watching it this morning, you know, it follows the tale of Wayne, which is played by Mike Myers, and basically his, for lack of a better term, his sidekick Garth, played by Dana Carvey. And they've got their own like little public access show.
Yeah.
And, Rob Lowe dupes them into like getting this bigger contract out of Chicago TV and sort of, yeah, the little man becomes bigger show host, and you know, sort of the trials and tribulations that you can imagine that would happen in this sort of relatively simple comedy. You know, him and his friends have a falling out, and you know, there's some girl problems and all that sort of stuff. But
I sort of caught the timestamp when he like addresses the camera, acknowledging all three things in his life are gone, is like an hour and 12 minutes in. There's only 20 minutes left of the movie, where they wrap all three issues up in the last 20 minutes, which is kind of funny, I thought.
And there's probably 12 minutes or 12 to 15 minutes worth of just music in this movie.
Yeah.
You know? Which I mean, isn't, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. This movie does it screws along, you know. It's not, it doesn't like really hang on anything for too long. But like, to be a movie based on a 3-minute sketch on like network television at 1 a.m. It's pretty great to think that they did that. Rob, you said you've seen this more than any other movie. When was the last time you watched it before watching it for this?
Within the past year and a half.
Yep.
You know what? Actually, so I work in a dispensary, and a lot of times what we will do, what my task will be for the day, is to just like pack all of the online orders that come in. And it's like, kind of like working in a kitchen. You're just putting things together and, you know, assembly and stuff.
Except it's a very cool kitchen. Everyone is like wearing big shades and like throwing peace signs around and stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds cool.
We'll listen to music and stuff, and we used to watch movies, and then they took the TV away. So
that's bullshit.
But, what the
yeah, fuck? It was,
again, too corporate. Bit of a too much Benjamin in the kitchen.
100%.
Yeah.
We listened to Wayne's World like a month ago.
Wait, okay, so how does this work? The TV is not hooked up, but the DVD player still is?
And the surround sound's still there?
Wayne's World, if you guys want to listen to the Wayne's World audio, it's on YouTube.
Oh, that is. You can listen to
quite a few movies, it turns out.
Wow, so now, not to get us too far.
We listened to Jurassic Park, which is really a visual film.
It is very visual. Yeah.
It really makes you appreciate the visuals.
I mean, beautiful soundtrack, beautiful score by John Williams, but that only takes you so far. You need the dinosaurs. You really do need those dinosaurs. What else have you listened to, Rob? I love this.
It was only one day. So, like, we listened to those two. And what was the third one?
Schindler's
it was a movie
List.
That I wasn't really... Mars Attacks.
Okay. Those acts can get very annoying.
I've never seen Mars Attacks.
Gotcha.
So that was confusing.
A lot
of people to keep track of.
Couldn't tell that Pierce Brosnan's head was being replaced by a Chihuahua's or Sarah Jessica Parker's. That might happen to both of them or only one of them.
You just
no interest. You're never going to see it. That's okay. It's fine. Wayne's
I've lived a complete life.
Yeah, you've lived a life. You know, you got a
I mean, you still have a long life ahead of you if you decide to do watch the movie. It's not over.
Right. Let's get it out there.
It's not the longest movie ever. You could get around to it, but hey, you know.
I've heard it.
Are there any sort of parts of this movie that, like, I mean, really stand out to you personally? Like, obviously, in the zeitgeist, everyone sort of thinks of the Bohemian Rhapsody scene. At least I did when I was a kid. I interestingly read that, like, before Wayne's World came out, Bohemian Rhapsody like peaked at number 9 on the US charts, but when this movie came out, it was on number 2.
Yep.
So that's like awesome to think that like it like re sort of brought this song back into the limelight. And that's when I first
back into the
like,
karaoke bars.
That song,
yes, absolutely.
Everyone
that song
loves
to hear that.
Has done that a number of I think it's done it a number of times because like it happened again for when the Queen movie came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's happened with another movie in between. And it's so funny because if the movie is to be believed, no one thought that would be a hit ever.
Yeah.
Other than the band. Well, but
I mean, so see, it's a scene made from heaven.
With Mike Myers in it, actually. That's funny. I just realized.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody. Yes.
Mike Myers is the record executive at that actor at that point in the movie that's like, this sucks. This will never be anything.
Right. In the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's actually fucking hilarious that he played that character after playing this Wayne's World character. That's funny.
That's why they do it, Justin, for people like
that. Isn't that a little wink to the audience? Breaking the fourth wall like they do?
There you go.
And I'm only now getting it now because I, like you, have not seen many movies. So I've not seen Wayne's World 1 before.
You've seen Wayne's World 2?
I think so because.
You suck. You fucking suck, dude.
Because him and Cassandra are. Do they go through the same bullshit again with someone trying to steal Cassandra in the second one too? Steal like she's property, but like their relationship gets rocky.
There's definitely a rocky relationship part in Wayne's World 2.
The second one is also where Garth meets the blonde-haired woman, and they have a relationship in that movie, right? The second one.
There's like a yeah.
Then I have seen the second one, and I definitely don't think I've seen any of the first one.
It's the Wayne Stock. He's trying to make Wayne Stock instead of Woodstock.
Definitely saw the second one.
The Jim Morrison part and I really look back fondly on the Drew Barrymore cameo.
I don't know
as a young lad.
I haven't seen Wayne's World 2 as much. I think
Me neither. I was very like wishy-washy with when you were asking about the plot of that.
Yeah, I had to look it up here in front of me. But I do remember the Jim Morrison. Yeah, there's like he calls him a weird naked Indian, but he's you know like a Native American man talking to him and telling him to throw this Wayne Stock.
If you build it, they will come. The other great joke of the second movie that I think is still funny today, even though it's not what we picked, I still think about this joke often, is that they're like, they make a joke about Keith Richards being like, well, if he's still alive, you know, the like whatever, like he should be dead by now. And like that movie came out in what, 94, maybe five?
Sure. Yeah.
Keith Richards very much still alive and should be dead so many times. And yet not, which is so funny to me. I think that's
they're like testing his blood or something, I read.
Yeah, they should. Like, he's an example of like why, you know, fuck listening to people telling you to stop doing anything. Like, he's still doing it.
Yeah.
He's fuck probably your doctor. Like, he's
that's
probably
right.
Like
listen to Justin and Keith Richards instead of your like your doctor or any medical
and
advice.
I'm gonna explain it with science using The Simpsons right now. So there's that Do you guys remember that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns like goes to the Mayo Clinic and they're like, Mr. Burns, you have every disease imaginable and yet you're not dead.
Yes.
And let me demonstrate with these like little gremlin figures. And what you have is Three Stooges syndrome where they and he tries to shove all the germs through the door, but because they're all there, so they're all the drugs like Keith Richard and all the toxins, they're all trying to get them to die, but they all get stuck in the door. And thus, you know, he's alive because they all get stuck in the door. Thanks, Simpsons, for that science.
We gotta have like a little jingle every time you like reference the Simpsons or something. It's like a Simpsons segment or something.
I'd love that.
Something for Family Guy too. Whenever you bring up Scrubs or whatever, I'm not asking you to bring these things up. Don't do it.
No, I'm not gonna. I don't have references to them right now.
Okay, thank you. So, Rob, are there any parts of this movie that, like, really stand out to you, like, that make you want to revisit it? Or is it just sort of the movie as a whole that you enjoy?
You know, it's just something I kind of look back on kind of fondly. When I think about, like, what, like, the one scene I think that always sticks out to me is, for some reason, it's like that product placement scene that's just like fun. A straight down the barrel, like we're doing a bit, guys. Like, but it just keeps, it has so many beats to it. And Rob Lowe is just like stone faced. Like, what are these fucking morons? Like, that was really good. Last night when I rewatched the movie, something that I never really like focused on before, in the beginning when they're going to the donut shop where Ed O'Neill works, outside they talk to the police officer and you know, they kind of give him some shit. He stops them and they do the like, do you guys smell a pig? It does smell like a pork product of some type. And he says to them, I used to say stuff like that to cops when I was your age. They're 30.
Yeah, they are.
Are they like supposed to be 30 years old in the movie?
Who knows? That's just one of the mysteries of like Wayne. The other mystery, I think, too, is like they have this TV show. It's good, right? It's worth $10,000 in 1992, which is who knows?
Right.
And they have these in the TV show, these fully produced bits that have beats to them. They are thought out. They might be recurring themes. They have production. You never see any kind of behind the scenes. Who Wayne and Garth are writing these, were to believe. Like, I don't see them like sitting down and like working this out.
No, because they, I don't, they, they show like those tech guys, but they're not doing that stuff.
No, right.
Like Terry and those dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'd like to think those, like, they're sitting down on their couch and they're doing a podcast in 1992. That's what they're doing. That's what their show is. And they film it and then they put it on public access.
Oh no, but it's so much better. It's so much like, well, it's, Rob's right. It's very like well produced. And yeah, there are big recurring segments and everything.
Yeah. It's thought out ahead of time.
Absolutely.
But you never see that in the movie.
Right.
I want like the Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip version of Wayne's World.
Of Wayne's World, yes. The people running around like manically trying to come up with like who's gonna come in. They're like running down to the wire as they're just like dawdling around the set, hoping that everything happens. It is such a like straightforward and simple plot, but is not like. I mean, yeah, I guess you can sort of like see where it's going, but I think of it as like a full, there are so many different beats to it that it's not just like first, second, and third act, you know, like they go through all of this ups and downs and you sort of see where it's going at towards the end. But like, I mean, like all the characters in it are so like, keep the movie going. You mentioned like Ed O'Neill and Brian Doyle Murray is in it. I think he's so good.
Is he the truck or the guy that sits at the booth or the bar at the donut shop too?
No. He's the guy. Oh, who's like,
no, but that guy's good too.
That, I mean, they got laid off.
Think of that guy's name last night. Yeah.
Brian Doyle Murray is Bill Murray's brother, and he plays like the Rob Lowe's boss, who's like the guest on the first episode.
The guy who owns the arcade.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Oh, Noah. Yeah, Noah from.
I love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So good. And you know, Chris Farley is in it for a bit. The whole Alice Cooper part is a lot of fun. So yeah. I mean, Justin, having not seen it before, what was your reaction?
So I'm kind of like mixed. So like I really like some of the bits, like the product placement bit was very funny. I liked where they kind of referenced, this is the Oscar bit, or this is the gratuitous sex scene. Like where they, you know, I thought those jokes were funny, but it was also kind of weird to me. Like, I didn't understand why he talked to the camera. So maybe is that something he would do in SNL? Because I thought in SNL, Wayne's World, the public access show, like that the viewers would see in the world of Wayne's World, were what we, the audience of SNL, we wouldn't see, like we just saw an episode of Wayne's World on public access. That's what we saw on SNL. So the idea that he's like talking to the camera, not on the show, I thought was kind of weird. I thought the storyline, I thought the basic storyline was actually like a really great idea. Like that's a great story. I think the issue, like the problems that they would all face as characters, like every character in the show, I think they don't hold up, you know, to 2020 problems. Like, there would be, like, there's just more knowledge in the world about, like, you shouldn't just sign a contract. So I would have loved to see, like, that they tried to read the contract and then there was, like, oh, we don't agree with this. Like, but then they're constantly trying to push the boundaries. Like that, they actually do a few episodes of the show, and you see it, and then like you, like they push it on each one until eventually Wayne gets fired or quits. Rather than
Wayne's World like written by Paul Thomas Anderson or something. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I think I wanted a little bit more. Like, I don't mind the comedy, obviously. Like, there were very funny bits, and I think Mike Myers, especially at this time period, like this going into the Austin Powers franchise, is like, you know, I think it's great. But at the end of the day, I think there's a really, really great story here that like you mix in a little bit more about like the punk rock metal ethos of of that world in today's world. Like, I think that, you know, you bring in a little bit more music references and like they talk like they, it's a little bit more like High Fidelity, the way they sort of constantly.
You're like, because you love music.
I know. So that's what I would love to see a little bit more of, like, you know, Damn the Man, Save the Record Store. Oh,
you want Empire Records. That's a movie.
I know. But like, but then factor in the story of Wayne's World. Like, that could be a really.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, this is based on an SNL sketch. It's not a sketch. It's not supposed to be like heady or anything.
So that being the case, then at that point, I would have also enjoyed seeing more of the Wayne's World television show that like the audience would see that they enjoyed. Like, I think it would be funny to see more like suck-o-matic bits where the guy comes on and like Gart's hair gets pulled. And like, I don't know. That all that being said, like, it was obviously a fun movie. I just think watching it and never seeing it before, all I could see was opportunity. And while generally I think remakes and shit are stupid, this is something I think could actually, you take the story, the through line, but you could revamp the whole thing and make a pretty interesting remake, I think.
Do like The Man on the Moon, but about Wayne's World.
I don't know the movie, but that's Jim Carrey, isn't it?
It is Jim Carrey.
Yeah. So. Oh, wait, Justin, that's Andy Kaufman, isn't it?
Yes, the Andy Kaufman movie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Justin, do you like Mike Myers?
I liked him like I liked Adam Sandler. This era, you know, like where they were making hit after hit. What's up?
Nothing. I can't.
What? I what's a new Mike
I'm not
Myers
gonna
movie?
I'm not gonna die on a Sandler. I'm not about to die on a Sandler Hill right now. I will die on the Sandler Hill all day. I think Hubie Halloween's coming out like within the next week, and I can't be more excited for it. But maybe I'm just a fucking idiot. Rob, are you generally a fan of Mike Myers?
Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
Wayne's World at the top of that, the top of the list.
I think it is. What is another like?
So there's Austin Powers. There's Shrek, of course.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've never seen a Shrek.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, he hasn't really had like that many, like many leading roles.
Yeah.
So I Married an Axe Murderer, I think, is very good.
Yeah, that one, I think I haven't seen enough. I might have seen that like once when it was out. But like, Mike Myers is a weird guy to pop up in movies.
Yes, like you're always
you mentioned when he was in Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. That was weird. And it was like, yeah, that big wink. It was weird when he was in Inglourious Bastards.
Very weird.
He's an alarming presence.
Those presences, I prefer to see him in those roles at this point.
Right.
Like I didn't know the wink. I just thought he played a good record executive because he's like British and wanted to be in a movie, and he like kind of played an interesting character.
That's so funny. You didn't know it was a reference to Wayne's World.
Not even at all.
That's why they did it.
Right. But which makes the bit so funny, but it, like as somebody who didn't know that scene was way more dramatic.
Sure.
But like I'm looking at his quick filmography here. Like to me, the last Mike Myers movie was like The Love Guru.
Yeah.
Which like, you know, I'm sure sucked. I didn't watch it, but I'm sure it's like, to me, that's right up there with like Adam Sandler doing a Zohan. It's like, dude, stop doing these. Like, go be a real actor.
Wait a minute. Wait, are those not the same thing?
I know. I feel like they came out right around the same time with each other. There were two SNL people trying to like capture like their Billy Madison, Austin Powers days. And like, I don't like,
what ethnicity could I pull off?
Yeah, right. I was going to ask, but now I don't remember.
The Zohan's Jewish and so is Sandler. Just saying. So I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here, but I'm dying on that Sandler Hill. I like Zohan. I think it's great, but that's all right.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm making a judgment on these movies that I've never seen because it just feels like I'm sure I've seen this a million times from these guys already.
No, I mean, that's understandable, totally. I mean, and like, it was sort of, I led us down that path asking Rob, as someone that said they haven't seen a lot of movies, what his favorite, like, Mike Myers films were. And like as you said, Justin, there really hasn't been that many. It's not like he kept doing these sort of, like, leading comedy roles or anything like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been in things since The Love Guru.
Sure, yeah, I know.
So, I don't know. I in my mind, Austin Powers, I haven't rewatched it in God knows how long, but in my mind, Austin Powers, at least number one.
Rob, have you seen those?
Hilarious.
Yeah, I have seen the Austin Powers trilogy.
Yes, nice. The trilogy.
Yeah.
The Law of Diminishing Returns. I think that's what they start calling them after the second one. So like back on Wayne's World, Rob, what was your sort of final verdict? Do you think this movie holds up?
I mean, like any movie that you're going to have, especially a comedy from 1992, there's going to be things that like you'd be like, oh, in some respects, maybe, yes. maybe if you're aroused by the sight of a woman, you shouldn't raise your crotch toward her.
Right.
And yell, swing.
Yeah.
You should not do that. Right.
So perhaps I'm not going to tell people how to live their lives.
Sure.
But don't do that.
It's interesting that, sorry, to pause there. So they do that dumb shit, but then they have like a fairly intelligent conversation about his ex-girlfriend with Cassandra on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About like, oh, you know, this is like the psychology of like, and then this movie being directed by a woman.
He picks up Cantonese pretty quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. But then he goes to being like a super possessive dick. So it was like a very bizarre... he's
the
like,
90s, baby.
Yeah, right. Right. We hadn't fully gotten there yet. We're touching on the issues, but we didn't commit to the issues.
No, come on. Generation X is complicated.
but sorry, I cut
it's
you off.
Reality on. Bites. Maybe you didn't. I don't know.
No, I don't know what that is. but I cut you off. I'm sorry. Keep going, Rob.
Oh fuck! What was I saying?
No, you know, just like sort of problematic, and as any movie from this time would be. But like, other than that, how would you?
I mean, largely, and maybe it's just because I have seen it so many times. But yeah, I watched it last night and still enjoyed it. I didn't like pay super close attention to it, but because it's that kind of movie too that you can definitely just throw on while you're like doing something.
I built some shelving cubes.
Perfect.
Nice. Exactly. Absolutely. What I did.
Wayne's World is a great movie to move into.
Yeah. It was great. It was like, it was really easy to continue and watch while sort of not visually seeing everything.
Yeah.
It really
Who
was.
Who cares if you miss one thing?
Yeah. Cause like anything that was like major, you're catching it, you know, they're on enough of the bit for a little while.
And I don't mean to say this as an insult. Like, it's not, nothing is really surprising you. Those jokes, you're like, give them to me, baby. I see you coming, but I am into this. It's not, nothing is really coming out of left field.
That's right. I completely agree. There was no like twist ending. The only twist ending was that they like made twist endings, which was like, I thought that was funny. And I loved, I didn't realize they were going to do three endings. So when they were like, oh, let's go to the Scooby-Doo ending, I just thought that was like a synonym for a happy ending because, like, you know, Scooby-Doo usually ends successfully for the character.
Sure.
And they fucking pull a mask off of Rob Lowe or whoever. That was, I thought that was so funny. I really loved that bit.
That's a good gag.
So I have a question. Chris Farley obviously made an appearance.
Yeah.
So there were a number, Rob, Lorne Michaels was involved. So it's a heavy SNL.
I believe
SNL reference.
The first SNL movie.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that
I say that with no research.
I think so. Yeah.
So then, in addition to that, Rob Lowe continued to go on and be in so many of these SNL or SNL cast movies, where like Tommy Boy. I think he's in Wayne's World 2 again, like. Maybe not. No, maybe
he's
not.
In Austin Powers.
Oh, he's in Austin. Yeah, like he's in. Yeah. So him and Mike Myers must get along really well. But I guess, was he involved with SNL? Did Rob Lowe ever be a? Was he ever on SNL? No, he just
so.
Somehow, right after,
I'm sure he's hosted.
Sure. But
this was like right after his like big scandal. He like had a sex tape came out, and it was like coke allegations. And Rob Lowe does not have the best past, and he.
Really but, turned it this around though.
One of the best. This is like one of the first movies that I think it was sort of like a renaissance moment for him, like doing these sort of wacky comedies. Yeah, because I mean, I think of this and I think of Tommy Boy. You know, like that role is sort of very similar. That's just like smarmy, like better than you sort of guy. Like he knows he's beautiful and he's gonna get his way with his charm.
He is a handsome motherfucker.
He sure is,
and he hasn't aged a day.
And he almost kind of plays off of that, like those two roles where he's the foil into that Parks and Rec role where he is like this impossibly nice person.
Yes, which I think is so good.
I know this might, this is going to sound bad, but he's now starring in this like stupid Fox drama about firefighters called 911 Lone Star. And I love it. I freaking love the show. I like the regular 911. I don't know how, my girlfriend, she put it on one night and I was
like an NYPD Blue head too, aren't you? Or like one of those like SVU or
I'll
something.
Watch SVU
like
any day.
Did you watch the Dennis Leary one?
Of SVU?
Oh, Rescue Me?
Oh, no, no.
Rescue Me.
No, I'm sure I'd get sucked into it. That's the thing. If it were up to me, I wouldn't even put it on because I don't want to get sucked in. Because I know that's what I would do no matter how shitty it is. These 911 shows, they are so stupid. And like, they purposefully, at this point, try to come up with the craziest freaking scenarios of life. Like to the point that it's
just
like
crime procedural. You can only do so much shit.
But 911 knows they're like, oh my God, let's come up with like, oh, we heard about this like crazy fucking thing. Like, let's do that times 10. And like, it's a joke. It's a comedy at this point. And I like now that's how I view it. And I love it now that I put that. And Rob Lowe's he's very funny in that too. Yeah, very funny. But anyway, John, what did you think? Does it hold up to you?
Yes, absolutely. I love this movie. I laughed out loud at, this is probably the closest I have watched it and probably the last five times that I've watched it, because the last five times I watched it, it's probably just like been on, yeah. You know, this morning I actually sat down, you know, I like drank a coffee, I smoked my morning bowl and I watched the movie. I actually sat down, smoked my morning bowl. Sounds like it should be something important. It's not really, you know, but to some people it might be. But, you know, so like I did get a little bit more out of it than I have the past like few times that I've watched it. And I think that just made me like it even more, because some of those bits that I didn't fully appreciate 100%, I did upon this viewing. And I was like, yeah, it's just, you see the bits coming and they punch you in the face, but they're awesome. Like the Garth's dog wearing a wig. Come on.
Yes.
That's so funny. It's like to look just like Garth.
I think the only, so weird movie. I'm not sure if I think it holds up or not. I guess it does. Like I enjoyed it. So, but I'll tell you what does not hold up. Mike Myers in this wig without the hat.
Oh, I was.
Yes.
I wrote
that
down.
That's the craziest part.
It's so weird without the hat.
It's fucking weird, and I hated looking at it. I hated it. That and the fact that he's walking around in tighty whities, which at first I thought for a split second he was wearing what's her face's thong, but he wasn't. He was still just like hiking up his.
Yeah, that was funny. I like that when he's dancing around.
Yeah, yeah, but like the whole his look in that scene, I couldn't handle it. I had a really.
And he puts the pink bra on.
That, you know, fine. Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah, it was.
And it's like, it's shot in an alarming way too with the camera one, camera two thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
It leads out. I guess you're not seeing him that way, but.
So, I mean, not that our say is the final say when everyone thinks, but if you haven't seen Wayne's World, go check it out. Right. Yeah. But if you don't have time for it, fuck it. You know, there's other things to do.
If you already have the Stars add-on, like
there you go. The Stars add-on on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice and convenient. 1 week trial. Make sure you cancel your trials, guys. We are going to take a break. We're going to power up our microwaves and we will be back with, I mean, that's it. A frozen microwave treat.
Hot Pockets.
Oh, did you just do like a Jim Gaffigan?
I did a Jim Gaffigan.
Don't do that again. Don't, when we come back from the break, don't do that.
I don't know how we can talk about Hot Pockets and not Jim Gaffigan.
It's easy. You
all
just
right.
Don't do
fine.
It.
Fine, John.
All right. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Justin and John from the Hold Up Podcast. We're here to tell you about confidence and how a little bit goes a long way. You can be just like Justin and weasel your way up the corporate. I'm sorry.
Weasel my way up the corporate ladder. And let me tell you, you know why I have so much confidence, John? It's because I eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef from ButcherBox.com.
Yeah, and I think if you go to ButcherBox.com, you can use the code hold up, H-O-L-D-U-P. And what does that get you, Justin?
Gets you, I think, about 20% off, plus some goodies, some freebies in your first box. Yeah. So make sure you take advantage of that. And sometimes they're doing for life offers. So that's always exciting.
Ooh, for life.
Right now I'm getting bacon for life. Gotta love bacon for life.
Yeah, bacon for life sounds good. Do they ever offer, like, maybe confidence for life? That'd be nice.
Listen, you eat their meat, you're confident for as long as you're eating the meat. That sounds, I don't know, kind of odd.
Hey, you said it.
I did. But, hey, you know, do what you got to do.
And print.
What's print?
Like, that's the end. Like, print the ad.
Oh, got it. Yeah, print it.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Well, thank you, Justin. You know, like, our saying "and we're back" is almost as important as you saying "hold up" at the beginning. How does that make you feel?
I love it. I love having a purpose.
Yeah, there you go.
Gotta find the positive in everything these days, you know?
Yeah, sure. Whatever makes you happy. We're about to find the positive in a snack, I guess, or a meal. Some people might call this a meal.
I used to eat fucking two of these things.
Oh yeah.
That's why I was an overweight fatso.
Back here with Rob Green on the podcast. Rob, what did you choose for us to eat today?
Well, it wasn't my first choice.
No, it was not.
It wasn't my first choice now, and it wasn't my first choice then.
Yeah, so perfect.
It's a ham and cheese hot pocket.
Wow, ham and cheese. Quite the varietal. Originally, you mentioned toaster strudel. We've done that a couple of times, and you were nice enough to pick a second thing. Now
I basically picked the same thing, but
yeah,
one meal earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they make toaster strudels in ham with like egg, ham, and cheese.
They definitely do. That's right.
Yeah. Well, and so
all right. Let's. On that note, guys, do you guys have frosting in your fridge? No, I'm just kidding.
That would imagine if they still comes with the frosting. It's yeah. I guess a toaster strudel is slightly flakier, right? Like,
yeah.
But it like smells the same. I'm getting the same vibe.
I'm smelling the exact same thing as like what I remember as a kid eating the breakfast sandwich versions of a strudel. Because I definitely tried those as a kid, like the egg and cheese.
I never ventured over there.
So
any of the frozen eggs always freaked me out.
Yeah, I don't like frozen eggs. You know, Rob, you mentioned that this was like a second choice. What, like, how did this like represent itself in your life when you were younger?
This would be like the, I can make that for myself for dinner.
Gotcha.
You know, like a parent, you could have a parent at work, and then I'm on my own. So it'd be something like that. Yeah.
It is weird how like, you mentioned that it's the same for me that like it was something I can make for myself. And yet like we weren't allowed to have TV dinners. Like anytime I like suggested having like a TV dinner to my mom, no way, not in the house, mm-hmm. Which having eaten a Hungry Man a few weeks back was delicious. Anyway, like, but like eating two fucking pepperoni and mozzarella hot pockets for dinner.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable. Gross.
Rob, was it always ham and cheese? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it was ham and cheese was probably like one of the, it was ham and cheese or meatball was pretty good.
Mm. Yeah.
I wasn't a big pepperoni guy. And they had like, they had like a steak and cheese one that like, if you really looked at that steak.
Yeah. That's a strong suggestion. Yeah. If anything.
That steak and cheese one. Oh, go ahead.
The steak had like the same kind of consistency as like a like an olive loaf or something. Like there was stuff in it.
Yes, there is a certain smell that kind of
marbled. I'm sorry.
Yeah, on like that kind of steak and cheese, and you can smell it in other things that you eat too. Like I don't know what it is. It might be it's microwave provolone. I have no idea. But there is a distinct smell that came with that steak and cheese hot pocket that I smell it in other things. And I'm like, ugh, I don't even care what any of this is. I hate it. I hate all of it.
Yeah. So,
but I'll still eat it. You know.
So whatever. We microwaved these. Are they still like molten lava? Like, You know, does it take like 5 minutes for them to cool down still? Because I remember that.
I haven't touched mine yet. Are you guys still sheathed?
No, I
unsheathed mine.
I unsheathed and cut down the middle to try to cool it down.
There you go.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I'll say I didn't get a lot of browning.
No, me either.
The bottom is actually pretty.
The crisping tray didn't really crisp too well.
The microwave doesn't crisp shit, no matter, like.
I agree. I used to, so, like I said, I ate these a lot as a kid. And I'd microwave them for, I don't know, let's say if you had to do 3 minutes, I would do 2 minutes. And then I would toast them for 10 minutes. Oh. Which was like an exercise in patience, but I'll tell you, having a crispy real crispy outside of these were so much better.
Yeah, because it distracts from the inside a little bit better.
It does, yes, it does.
Yeah, because I just took a bite, and oh boy, that ham is rubbery.
It is such a strong smelling ham. I'm not much of a ham guy. At Easter,
I love ham.
At Easter, I demand a different meal. So
demand? What the fuck is wrong?
I'm gonna say demand. Yeah.
Oh my!
Like God. I'd rather not eat. Like it's like I'd rather not eat on Easter. Like than eat the ham. I hate ham, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
But
I'm sorry
I am,
to make you go through this.
Oh no, it's okay. I ate tuna on the pod. I'll eat. You know.
Yeah, that's
whatever the pod asks for at this point. Fair game. I think the only thing I never ate was the olives. Shout out to past guest Nadia. But I'm
somebody
not
wanted gonna... to see if wait somebody wanted to see if tuna held up.
It was a homemade tuna casserole, actually. And homemade sort of thing that their mom made them, and it was with tuna. And just
this was in the before times. You guys didn't have to each make your own tuna casserole.
That is correct. It was one of the last episodes during the before times. Yep.
Yep.
That would be great if I was just like, hey guys, your house is gonna stink, but it is gonna be funny.
Here's a recipe. They're fried crispy onions and tuna and yeah.
And it was honestly great. I mean, I'm not going to ask for it ever again, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed eating it too. I didn't think I would. And like, I also like, it's just like, you know, the thing about the treats like this, a treat meal, whatever you want to call it, is the microwave that I just can't get behind. There's a nice sort of method of workaround with the toaster oven. I think that I probably would have came up with a similar method. Like, were there instructions on the box? I don't remember to do anything other than put them in the microwave.
It's microwave only. Oh no, conventional oven. They don't give pictures for that though, or any times. They make it. It's super.
No time.
Font. Not like the graph that the microwave gets. So look at those pictures. The times right in the picture. There's a graph. Conventional oven. Conventional oven gets. Like the smallest fine print.
And how long is it taking the conventional oven?
28 minutes.
That's why
you couldn't just toast it or in a toaster oven. You had to microwave it and then toast it to just crisp the outside. Because if you did that, the insides would never cook unless you're willing to wait 30 minutes, which is like at that point, why the fuck am I going to make a Hot Pocket? I'll do something else for 30 minutes.
Right.
That's enough time to change your mind.
How is this tasting, Rob? Does this taste like what you remember?
Yeah, it's bad.
Does the ham or the cheese smell and or taste, texture, anything? Is any of it different?
I seem to remember that that watery cheese water that will kind of leak out of a Hot Pocket.
Yes, yeah. Like they put some liquid in there to boil up in the microwave in the 2 to 4 minutes that you had to put it in.
Nothing like a steamed cheese.
Yeah, cheese. And it's like just like orange American cheese. The ham is cubed. It smells exactly like I remember. What's the sort of the closest thing we've done to this? Like, you know, we talk about toaster strudels. We talk about Hungry Man sort of prepared meals. I guess it's sort of in the same line.
It has to be closer to the Hungry Man or the other Kid Cuisine that we did.
Yeah,
I think that's
right.
The closest thing.
Kid Cuisine.
But I'll tell you, this Kid?
There's an impossible brownie to get.
No. Wait, it wasn't even like a brown. Like, I don't know what it was. It was like, it was such a disappointment. This ham in particular, this smell in this ham brings me back to preschool. And in preschool, once a week, there was food provided. And they once provided mac and cheese, which at the time, basically till I was in high school, was my favorite food, mac and cheese. And then the mac and cheese that was provided at this preschool had ham cubes in it. And it smelt like this. And it had ham cubes. And so
they were just taking the ham out of Hot Pockets and putting it in mac and cheese.
Right. And even if I tried to eat around the ham had permeated to the cheese, and it just all smelt and tasted like the fucking ham. And so that is what this is really like.
That's why you hate ham. That's why you hate ham.
That's why I hate ham. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like right there. I'm able to kind of separate the two flavors a little bit more now. The bread with the cheese, I'd eat whatever that is. Like, it doesn't bother. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I would never like go out of my way to get it. But the cheese with the crust. Sure. What the hell? I'd eat that. I don't care for this ham though.
Rob, have you had a Hot Pocket recently by any chance?
No, I have not.
Been some
time. Have you guys done Bagel Bites? That would have been better.
Oh, that kind of smells like this too.
Yeah, it does. Did we do Bagel Bites?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe I bought them one day an idiot, you know?
So here's what I'd like to call out about the box.
Yeah, please call them out. Russell Stover, whoever they are, they're listening.
Nestle.
Thank you.
Stick to Crunch Bars, Nestle, am I right? Okay. Man.
Stick to stealing water from people.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah, awful, awful company.
So a serving size is one full sandwich. They classify this as a sandwich, so I'd have to go to my cube rule about that.
Don't get the trolls after you guys.
It's only 270 calories in a full sandwich, which
lower than I thought, sure.
It sits heavier.
It does. God. Yeah.
And it's definitely packed with sodium and other garbage.
640 milligrams of sodium.
Oh, my. That's terrible.
So the other thing that I really enjoy about this box is it's a thoughtful portion. One portion equals one sandwich. Enjoy with a side salad or fresh fruit. That's what they're encouraging that you eat this with, instead of eating two sandwiches. Because let's be real, that's what people are doing. They're eating two sandwiches. Because I gotta be honest, if I'm buying this to eat regularly, then I ain't got time for a frickin' side salad or a fresh fruit. Like, that's not my life. Because if that was my life, I wouldn't be eating a Hot Pocket. So,
right.
Who are you kidding, Nestle?
I mean, some people want to spend $3.29 on the main portion of the meal and then spend $7 to $13 on the rest on the side salad.
Right.
Go to a nice farmer's market on a Sunday, pick up some fresh greens, some radishes, you know, maybe some mushrooms, what have you, make a balsamic vinaigrette at home. And then, you know, fire up your microwave depending on the wattage for 2 to 4 minutes. And yeah.
You know what I like to do is shave a little truffle over the top.
There you go.
Wow.
You know, it really brings it all together.
Chef kiss.
A nice umami with the cheese and the ham. I mean, you know, you're going from tasting umami to saying umami. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
How old were you when you ate these, Rob? Do you remember?
Like a teenager. Yeah. Those teenage, like, loafing around years before you can drive.
Got it.
Yeah.
13 to 15.
Yeah. What were you watching Wayne's World and eating this food, or were you?
I have definitely done that. Yes, I don't have a specific memory of that, but the Venn diagram of those two things they're touching.
Got it. I'll be honest. If I could just pick out the ham right now, I'd eat the second half.
Oh wow! Okay.
I don't mind the bread. Maybe because I crave. Like, I rarely eat bread other than like stuff on this podcast anymore.
Yep.
God, I would love to just eat this a second.
I had a bite and a half. I couldn't do it.
I did. half.
I ate the half of it, yeah.
Yeah, I ate half. I still have some ham cubes. It wasn't bad. Right there.
You don't have to finish. Nobody's going to. That's okay.
No.
This will be the, for your mac and cheese.
Don't speak ill of mac and cheese like that. This is going to be the picture on the pot with the ham cubes right here.
Yeah, of course it is. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for pointing that out to us while we record what the picture's going to be.
Yeah, no problem. Everyone
nice little
know.
Mental note.
Yeah. So what did you think, Rob?
Every other food, when they cut it like that, they call it diced. Ham, it's cubes only.
Yeah, you're right. It's
funny. Yeah, that's right.
Cubed ham. Someone in big ham.
Can I get
ham.
Some? Big ham.
A lot of dishes should call for cubed onions.
Yeah, ooh, that sounds like real. That's like artisanal. Cubed onions.
Yeah.
Cubed onions. Yeah, big onions got to get on the level of big ham.
Yeah, you just grow them in a box.
Rob.
Oh, yo, I saw a cool, like, dicer cuber contraption at Aldi's today.
Dude, honestly, can we please go one podcast without talking about fucking Aldi?
I don't think that's possible.
Jesus.
Rob, what did you think? Did this hold up?
The Hot Pocket?
Or all? Yeah.
It held up in the fact that it is still bad, yes.
Okay, so you didn't...
So as a kid, you didn't like these either.
They were fine.
It was just there. It was convenient.
It was there and like, yeah. It was like, I guess I did. Yeah, I liked them. There was a point where I liked them and then it just, we kept buying them.
Right. You get them in big boxes. You keep them in the freezer. You forget about them.
Definitely. They stay in there. Man, for those like couple months that my mom would have a free membership to BJ's, we would have Hot Pockets on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I ate them. I ate them a lot when I worked at Stop and Shop because I would just grab shit out of the freezer section and we would just heat them up in the back room, like when we'd all take our breaks together.
But it's so funny because it's like, I guess like if I'm looking for a microwave convenience factor, but like even I feel like then, especially now, there are so many other microwave convenience foods that are like healthier. Even like if you can believe it, for a microwave meal, they're healthier and they're tastier.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. No, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're so bad. They're bad for you. They taste bad. I'm not sure like it was the ham that doomed it. I think if we were up here in here with like the bougiest Hot Pocket, I don't think we would have been like feeling it at all.
Are you guys at all interested in what the bougie ones they're hyping on the back here?
What do they got? What are they trying to promo?
Wow. Drive-through menu favorites, and then they show...
Is it like a Big Mac Hot Pocket?
They show a classic cheeseburger hot... They show a classic cheeseburger Hot Pocket. Then they have the big and the bold, and it's like, look at that. It's...
Is there a Travis Scott Hot Pocket?
No, I don't think so.
Damn, dude.
Which is like chicken bacon ranch, and honestly, the filling on that looks full. I mean, it's just better than the picture of the other ones. And then they have breakfast to compete directly with Toaster Strudel. There's like literally the exact same breakfast pocket.
I like their tagline is irresistibly hot, which is true.
Yeah, because you're going to eat it even if it's... Mouth. Yeah, right, exactly.
Always burn in your mouth.
I do like that the breakfast pockets are hyping that it's made with a pancake crust. Intriguing.
Well, that's nice.
Intriguing.
That is a nice idea. I like that.
Yeah. If there wasn't frozen scrambled eggs in the middle, I might listen to that.
You think lean? I bet lean pockets are very healthy, though. Maybe next time we do lean
pockets. I was looking for a lean pocket, actually, when I was in the freezer section. They did not have it.
Dang.
Maybe those are dog.
They only had ham and cheese. It was one of those where there's like three rows of ham and cheese and nothing else.
So the lean pocket version is uncured ham and white cheddar with pretzel bread.
Mm.
That sounds good.
That sounds delightful.
It's a lot more artisanal. The lean pocket line, they have chicken broccoli and cheddar, chicken jalapeno and cheese, roasted turkey bacon and cheese.
Honestly,
similar
chicken parmesan.
Similar to how Hot Pockets is going to give you your microwave versus conventional oven instructions.
Yep.
They know that they are pitching to two classes of people.
Very different.
Yep.
Yeah.
12-year-old boys and single moms in their 40s. I feel like it's the difference between the Hot Pockets. I was going to go
like, yeah.
What? Who are you thinking for Lean Pockets?
Depressed, like, doughy dad types.
Yeah, that works too. It does the gender. The Lean Pockets doesn't know any gender bounds. It's not binary.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it's just lonely, but it's just more of an age gap. I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. Pre-pubescent and post-pubescent. That's that one of those words. Pubescent. Oh wow, I maybe got it. Okay. So yeah, these, you know, weren't great. I don't think. Now, Rob, you said they hold up to being shit, but so I mean, yeah. I guess. Yeah, they taste exactly the same. They won't
do
for you
the
then.
Taste and smell is exactly the same.
So I guess technically they do hold up.
I'd like to give a shout out to their new crisper, which they let you unravel like a burrito.
There you go.
So that's what's new. So good for them. But yeah,
because
overall.
Because you cannot hold a Hot Pocket.
Correct.
No.
Although I enjoy doing my my fork and knife situation here. I feel like a psychopath, like someone who eats pizza with a fork and a knife. But what are you going to do? They don't.
I'm going to wash my plate and fork and go grab a Snickers bar.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well,
I think that's about it.
I think that's a wrap. Yeah. Be sure to. Go ahead, John. You do it.
No, Justin. Go ahead.
Be sure to follow us on all the majors at the Hold Up Podcast, at the Hold Up Cast on Twitter. You can check out our Patreon, subscribe to our Patreon, see video of this. So I held up
the Patreon. Patreon is down this month, dog.
Oh,
Patreon is down this month.
We don't have a Patreon, so be sure to check out our sponsors instead. We're going to get paid that
Thank
way.
Just Venmo them.
Yeah, yeah or just Venmo us directly to keep the podcast going, keep the lights on.
The podcast is going to keep going. We don't need their fucking. Okay.
John. If people are going to Venmo us.
They're not going to.
I'll get them a t-shirt.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But
no, that's
anyway,
all right. Those are all of our plugs.
Those
You've
are
heard
our
them
plugs.
Before.
Yeah, apologies.
No, it's okay. We've totally said fine. Them a million times. Now, Rob, the floor is yours. You know, feel free to plug anything you'd like. I like following you on Twitter. You don't have to plug it or not. You're wearing a cool basketball shirt. You like to tweet about basketball. Those are fun tweets. It's unfortunate that the Celtics are no longer in the playoffs. But,
Yeah, that is what my shirt is. It's Jaylen Brown dunking on OG.
Yes.
And
That's awesome.
Shout out to Fraser Ramon on Twitter. That's where I got it. You can follow me on all social media at Rob_Green with an E at the end on Twitter, Instagram, and Venmo. and yeah, when
Venmo
there's... go for it.
Yeah.
When there's things you can do again, I do stand-up comedy. But until then, I'm on the summer vacation.
That's nice. Yeah, it's a nice little summer vacation. And summer can last all throughout the winter, depending on how long our world.
Could be a long summer.
Could be a very long summer. Yes.
Yeah.
Justin, I thought you had like a hard-hitting question. I thought you were gonna like hit us with like some Chris Matthews hardline shit right there at the end.
I'm not getting into it. Rob, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank
you
so
had
much,
excellent
Rob.
Picks.
Thank you.
This was very fun to
about. We got all the way here, and no one brought up Jim Gaffigan.
It'll be in the first.
Pretty cool, right?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
That was good. Yes.
Listen, Jim Gaffigan's funny. I think he's
very funny.
He's
great.
No, he's
funny.
Fantastic. He's great. I'm saying, how didn't it happen?
Hot Pocket.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take
care. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Decaf left, regular right. Decaf left, regular right. Very challenging work.